Hi, this is the Archives Task Force on Tuesday, May 27th. I am Bonnie Simmons, and I'll be chairing the meeting. And let me just read off who I think is here. And anybody that I don't call off, please speak up. Don White, Kibby Brooks, Brian DeShazer, myself, Melinda Eilidone.
Here.
Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Teresa Allen.
Present.
Am I missing anybody?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what it is for the time being, and perhaps other people will join in. Is there anybody that we might be able to charm, talk into, coerce into being secretary, for at least for this evening? Oh, don't all speak at once. I can try to take notes while we're talking, but it hasn't worked very well in the past.
Should I offer some gift, some premium gift from the archives?
Yeah.
You know, advice, offer, or
well, I would normally.
Carolyn Burden, I see you typing 24/7.
Volunteer, but
all the
I have
time.
I have some minutes from another.
But not on the
I
phone.
She yet.
Doesn't type on the phone.
And you've never read my notes.
Yeah, that's
actually, I'm writing letters, you know, to friends in California.
You see, that's real multitasking.
Now we know.
And I'm doing bookkeeping.
Okay, I'll try to take notes during this meeting, but as I said, not promising the most absolutely accurate result.
Thank you.
While we were kind of struggling to find a time when people were actually available, or a time when people would come, is I have, just to be holding the date, scheduled June 24th and July 22nd on the KPFTX calendar for the next two. Those are both Tuesdays. And
what was the July date again?
July
22nd.
Okay.
So if anybody's got trouble with either of those dates, let me know so we can have a discussion about
June 24th I can't make, but it's only one date. I'm running a book signing party for Mumia.
Okay. Anybody else have any concerns about those dates?
Well, I guess, you know, maybe I should pop in. This is Brian. I think that, you know, I'm not sure that I want to schedule them only because I'm having difficulty in trying to manage the archives and raise money. We're in a big, huge financial crisis at Pacifica, and it's trickled down to the archives. And I don't know how much energy I can put into these kind of calls if there's not much outcome coming back from it. I don't know if we need to, what Nicole Sawaya has suggested or advised was to take a hiatus for the summer while the archives works on fundraising goals and tries to get the money into the archives, and then we can come back in the fall and sort of reexamine what this task force is about, why it's not populated and represented by all five stations, and what we can do to correct that.
May I say something to that?
Certainly, Teresa. Go ahead.
I'm really opposed to that. Taking a hiatus, I don't think people would expect the stations to take a hiatus. I mean, you have ongoing work that needs to be done, and more than just fundraising. We can help you some with fundraising. So, and planning or strategic planning or goal setting or whatever. And, you know, we're not perfect. I mean, I'm feeling kind of the same way about the affiliates, since I'm on the affiliates task force. And I guess I missed part of the conversation, but when I heard take a hiatus for the summer, I don't think that's a good idea. Now, maybe we should skip 1 month, but I think we should concentrate on getting momentum, and I don't see how we can go get momentum if we don't even meet.
Well, that's pretty much the reason why I want to take hiatus, because I get on these phone calls and they're not populated and nobody really responds to things. And I'm not sure what you guys can actually do, and I don't know what you expect from me other than just sort of chit-chatting and giving you a report of what I've been doing. And I'm not really sure, so I don't mean to come down and complain already, but, you know, I'm under a great deal of pressure in the archives trying to manage the grant work, the staffing, and this incredible financial crisis that we have. So the advice is that I have to do a lot more work in the background instead of sort of trying to manage the governance section of what this task force is trying to present to me. I know one of Scherner's questions is, why isn't there a cataloger? Because there's no money.
No money.
I have a question, Carolyn, here, if I may.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Obviously, it's the first time on this committee in several years. Has this committee been involved in fundraising? Or is it now or going to be? Or is that the question?
I can take a little swing at that. But I want to preface it a little bit, that I do understand what Brian is saying, because, to be perfectly honest with you, it's a little frustrating to keep trying to get this committee kind of up and going, and with a substantial number of people, as he said, representing each of the signal areas, and please, with no due respect, you know, in due respect, no fault, no harm to those of you who have been really good about showing up on these meetings. But for the past, what, 3 meetings, there have been barely a handful of us. I'm still kind of struggling to figure out who, other than AC, is interested in doing anything with the Archives Task Force from WPFW, and it's been really confusing because of their lateness of their election result and them kind of sifting all of that out. Tibby has been on several of these calls during this year. I just got word from Mitchell, who had been on it last year, that he is not going to be able to be part of it any longer from BAI. And I'm just a little bit in a quandary as to where we go with this. I do think I do think the task force attempted last year to help promote the archive fundraising days and a couple of the other promotional things that you were doing throughout the year, and I do think that's valuable, but I know we're all kind of frustrated by these meetings and, you know, the overriding problem, which is that we do have a serious financial crunch throughout the network.
Don here.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I'm very sympathetic to what Brian is saying. I think, unlike the affiliates task force, which I think we have more of an agenda of work, I think we have been really impacted by not having concrete an agenda of work. And I think what Brian is saying diplomatically is that he sees no value. He doesn't see the input or the results coming out of attending these meetings. And it seems to me that the board, the Pacifica National Board, needs to guarantee, if we go ahead, and I think we should go ahead, because this is another example, in my judgment, of how governance is beginning to wither on the vine. I mean, we see it in several signal areas where governance is beginning to, as I say, kind of wither. And I think what we need to do is to have a representative from every signal area, and then we have to have, even if it's one concrete project, which Brian helps us develop, where he then can see that being on these calls and taking time to be with us results in something positive. Right now, I think we would have a little difficulty in really laying out the positive effect, you know, that he could really measure or see. from our meetings, although other members of this committee might disagree with me, and I'd be glad to hear it.
Anybody else that wants to join in the discussion?
Well, this is Teresa. I think that quite an amount of time last year was spent, and the year before, discussing whether we wanted to be a task force and whether we were a committee, and kind of stressed over the fact that we were not a committee. I think that we had new governance 7 years ago. We've gone through a lot of stresses and strains, and I don't think we're looking at our glasses half full. And I think that we ought to just support Brian, find out what we can do, have our meetings run fairly briskly and efficiently, and do what we can. And I think it's a real loss for WPFW and WBAI and groups that don't have one or two or three or even four people that are actively involved in this committee, because when we at our local...
I think you meant KPFA, not WBAI. Sorry. Jump in.
BAI
is here. KPFA is not.
Well, but I mean, even more than one person. I think it's useful to me when I can talk to Melinda about what the archives is doing. I think it's useful to have more than one person. And I think it's very useful at local station board meetings when you can give some information about the archives. They need to constantly be told what the archives is doing, because the good news from the archives really lifts up the spirits of people on the local station board. The same with affiliates. And that should be put on the agenda at the local station board. I mean, the archives really help the stations, and they help the affiliates, and we are not bringing the good news to people. In fact, for some reason, we're allowing, ourselves to get depressed, and we have to stay positive. There's too much good stuff going on for us to be wringing our hands and thinking that we're not doing well, or just not giving proper value to the good things that we're doing.
Carolyn here, if I may.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
My question really was more direct than that. Was this committee doing any fundraising? And if not, I mean, Teresa indicates something that was sort of beginning when I left, which was public relations and advertising and making sure that special programs got noticed to the station and the stations were connected. But in terms of purpose and mission, I'm out of the loop as to what this task force was working on or hope to accomplish. Is it fundraising? Is it all of the above? Or a project or so on? That was really my question.
Right. I think that it's fair to say that what the task force did do was, wherever possible, when there were special events or fundraising days that the archive was putting out, that everybody on the task force did try to disseminate as much information as they could about it to various other groups of listeners and anywhere that they could publicize it. But directly fundraising, I would have to say no.
Right. I think, and I don't mean to be insulting. I don't want to negate the stuff that you have done, because I know you're here because you love the archives and that positive feeling that the archives gives you. And, I'm just privileged to be here to sort of direct it. So please don't take my, however I present myself, don't take it as a bad thing. Because I think that we can present some challenges, break it down. For me, I think that the whole idea of the task force of the archives was so huge. And it's a mind bender to get around the preservation standards and practices, the ideas of copyrights, as we wanted to release stuff. Everything we had great ideas about, we couldn't sort of get over hurdles. And Addie's not here tonight just because we wanted to have this talk about, you know, without Addie as the preservation consultant, of really what we here as the Pacifica group are supposed to be doing with these archives. So I do think that we can break it down from getting away from you guys having to understand preservation and all the grant work, because that really is just too much for you to sort of wrap your heads around and then sort of be able to communicate it back through the LSB and get any action done in terms of policy. You know, we've actually sort of presented policy or supported policy at the PNB. It doesn't really sort of go anywhere because discussion and dialogue, there's really sort of no forum for it in the right place or for the right time. It doesn't happen in 10 minutes of presentation at the PNB meeting. So that's sort of where this was supposed to happen. We were supposed to have these sort of deeper discussions and hopefully communicate that to the PNB, but it sort of doesn't work. So in terms of fundraising, which we need your support with, you know, you guys are really top-notch of taking whatever we're able to put together for you. Even when we've lacked in getting the right product for you to present, you really are able to sort of put it out there, and we really appreciate that. I think because of the accomplishments we've done so far, I think we have a couple of really great ideas that I think you can really handle and help with and feel really good about. I mean, that it comes from the two ideas or branches that we sort of branched out with about a year and a half ago, which also didn't get off the ground. Because the ideas are so huge, we had a building campaign. There was a committee and then a task force. When we were a committee, we had a task force for a building campaign and an educational task force. And both of those things, all those things, even if we met maybe once, but not any more times than that, we never really even defined what that was about, other than maybe trying to find out information about education system, where would you disseminate the information, or how would you do that? And that never really got off the ground either. So aside from that, I think that in the educational task force idea, we've actually been very lucky with Lamont Yakey, who was an archives task force member, and I'm not sure if he isn't because he's not on the LSB, or if he is, but he's just not here. But anyway, we love Lamont. So Lamont is a professor of history at Cal State LA, and we worked with him and took our From the Vault episode, and there's 100 episodes right now, and we broke it down into two volumes. One is a 2-CD set with 20 hours of the Civil Rights Movement on it, and he uses that as required listening for his class on civil rights history. We also did a general U.S. history from the leftist progressive perspective, choosing another different 20 from the Vault episodes, packaged it in a 2-CD set with 20 hours on it. And what he did was he made the students pay $20 for the 2-CD set. So the students were required, even within, you buy a book from the bookstore, that's X amount of dollars, so it's within their budget as a student. But Lamont is saying, I'm the professor, I decide this is what you have to listen to along with your reader book, your books. And we've done it for 2 semesters, and we've been able to present the materials in front of the students themselves, and we've really seen how the materials really sort of make some of those materials leap off the page for them. And Lamont is really very positive about how it's really making things connect and how they sort of are able to present their views and their papers in a different way because they've heard audio and seen video. So it's really, really wonderful. And I think that if we can put together the right promotional material for you, and I don't mean me right now, I don't know how this is going to get done, whether it's Sean or somebody else that can at least put a one-sheeter together for you of what we've done for Lamont, at least describing what's the content. If you can take that one-sheeter and work to go to your university and get a history professor to buy it, we actually made $1,500 off of one class from Lamont, or from 2 classes from Lamont for a semester. So basically that's $3,000 from one school per half year. So it would be $6,000 for a year from one school
for two classes. Until those students start selling theirs to the next class, right?
Right.
Like,
but you know what? The thing is that the stuff is online for free anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the vault you can stream and you can download some of the materials. I know a lot of the discussion we had was about release of the materials for the Creative Commons license. Well, do you remember that, Don White?
I sure do. That was a big
one. So we've actually broke through that chain, and we've had a really great, pilot tested it with our 1968 project, and we have over 131, I think, or 118, can't remember the number, hours of materials from 1968 on archive.org. And you can go there right now, and you can see the Pacific Radio Archives page, all that material. You can see how many people have downloaded and used those materials in other using the Creative Commons license of, if you're a nonprofit organization, you can use the materials for promotions and broadcast or whatever it is they do, as long as you give attribution to the archives. So we're starting to see that measurement and starting to see how much that relationship is going. So we're working with archive.org on a couple of other ventures to sort of increase that, but I'm not really there to sort of announce that yet. But we're getting there in that realm.
No.
So in terms of the school, so back to the idea of the money and whether the students could get it, they can get it for free and study from online at home anyway. But it's the teacher, just like if it was a book, you have to buy this book. So he actually makes us go there, he makes the kids have cash. You know, we go up and down the aisle and make kids give us cash. I would be okay with a check. But, you know, we discounted it for the students. It would not be a $20 premium gift if it were offered to the stations. It would be more like a $40 to $80 pitch on the air. So that's my big idea, is to take what we have already sort of done, tested, seen what's happened, and see if you can actually get some action at wherever you are and whoever you know in a history department.
Brian, Carolyn here. Have you tried to work with publishers at all on this, or like the American Historical Association, any organizational channel rather than one-on-one?
I'm not quite sure what your question is in terms of publishing materials. Yeah, we are working with a publisher right now, but we're in sort of pre-meeting meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So until Nicole sort of says we're allowed to announce it, I can't do that either. But we are working with somebody on a couple of projects to sort of take what we've already accomplished, preserved, worked through with the NEA and the Grammy grant, and sort of lift them into the next level of really publishing them through an editor.
Yeah, I think that was my point. The process you describe is serendipitous because you happen to have somebody who has a connection in a class and
right.
a school. But I think the way to do that would be to go, you know, to a historical society, take out an ad in their annual conference bulletin or something, and, you know, do it more on a larger scale rather than the one. I mean, that's the sort of thing that we could certainly work
right.
with.
Well, if you want to sort of find that out, you know, find out how much an ad is in one of those magazines, bring it back to the table, see if you guys can raise the money to pay for that ad.
Yeah, I've sort of lost track of what you actually have. That's sort of
you know,
of what you're
well,
doing.
Well, you know, take a look on our website. Our 1968
yeah.
project is rocking. You know,
mm-hmm.
journalists are actually working with the materials. We have a press release.
Mm.
We just put out a press release this morning for the RFK materials, and we've actually seen response from USA Radio Network.
Uh-huh.
We've seen responses from universities, actually, you know, university radio stations,
mm-hmm.
wanting to broadcast those materials and wanting to make sure that they get the attribution correct, which is really important. They can download that material off of archive.org or our own website, and they would be, I guess, free to broadcast. It's public domain. It's Robert Kennedy on a presidential campaign. But they were actually respectful of the fact that we put the Creative Commons license there so that they broadcast courtesy of the Pacifica Radio Archives on our website. So that's what we can do. And if you can sort of take those elements and just sort of get it out there, all you can do is pitch the net. You know, don't you guys have kids that have big history?
But
don't
White
you know here. Somebody that teaches history?
Do we have anybody who can put the archive on Facebook?
You can do a cold call. Just go onto the website of your local university or community college, find the email and phone number of the department head of history, email them the URL of our website, and say, hey, Dr. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm with KPFT here in Houston, and our archives is doing this educational project till 1968. You should take a look at it. It's great for your students. The press release says we're making them available for scholars and students and academia and churches and other nonprofits. That's the point.
Well, for I was going to say, for starters, maybe this entire committee could be on your press release list, so we know, you know, what you're doing and sort of could coordinate with it. That would be very helpful.
Sure. It just went out this morning, so I was planning to send it to you guys and got waylaid with my dentist appointment.
Right.
Let me send it out to you shortly.
If I could just reiterate something, because not everyone who's on the task force took the invitations I sent out some time ago to join the Yahoo group. When you send stuff out to the task force, go to the list on one of my emails because it has not only the Yahoo group but individual email addresses for those task force members who are not on the Yahoo list. So when you send something, Brian, send it to all of those or else you'll be missing half the people.
Okay, I might have to call you on that. I was half listening there for a second. Sorry about that.
No
problem. Didn't realize you were talking to me directly.
I'll email you about it, too.
Okay.
Well, I have a friend that teaches history with a local community college.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that his required reading is a book of four stories from slaves. One of them is a Diary of the Slave Girl, and one of them is Frederick Douglass, and I can't remember the specific names of the other two. But it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and I think it should be fairly easy for a professor to decide this would be good as either some sort of required reading or listening for a class. And if we can help spread the word, that'd be great.
Right. And thanks, Teresa. And I think, Carolyn, if I may sort of back up to what your suggestion was about the American History Society, something, that's sort of the world that I don't know. And I think, in terms of that, doesn't that sort of like sanction the material as formal educational material for curriculum? Is that what we're trying to get to, is some sort of official stamp of approval from the Teachers Association or something?
Well, an advertisement wouldn't. If you could get it written up an article, in one of the professional journals, that would certainly awaken some interest. But there's such thing as sanctioning. I mean, publishers publish and people advertise.
Right.
And there are lists all over the Internet, of course. So, I mean, if you wanted to do a full-scale publicity campaign, we could certainly help plan that.
Right. Well,
the archives themselves.
Right. Well, the NEA grant sort of provided us with getting a PR person to help work and customize a PR list for us, which is
when we
started the 1968 project. That was one of the objectives was, whenever we worked with a PR person, you sort of buy their journalist list or their media list, and they never share it. It's proprietary. So we don't even know, for the most part, who our releases go to and who we're going to hear from. Every now and then, if we get a hit from the LA Times or the New York Times, I know who the reporter is. But all the other ones, we don't know. I mean, that's just sort of the name, the name of the game in the PR. So what we wanted to do was to create a list that we could own, that we knew was sort of customized for our particular situation, which would cover both independent media, that would include Democracy Now! And NPR and PBS and those people. It would cover some academia, which we didn't sort of really get into yet because we were concentrating on the media and the other users of the materials. So we sort of put together some level of contact list for a press release. So anything that you could bring to that, and we could add and have it sort of reviewed by whoever is reviewing that stuff, that would be great. Because, you know, it, just adding to it would be fantastic. We were just talking about the other organizations within preservation and archives that should know about our Preservation and Access Project, which would not be a part of a regular PR person's listings. So we've done some purchasing of listings, and we've done some our own, you know, look on the website and find out at UCLA who's the guy that does the archives over there. But so anything that you could sort of forward, that would be terrific.
That sounds great. Is this written up anywhere, or should I have been taking better notes?
It is, the list itself is not written up, and I don't think that that's like a public posting thing.
No, not the list. Your project, the grant.
The 68 project is available on our website, and
right.
Our last NEA grant, which we just finished, the final report is also available. All the connections, audio samples, and some really cool arts materials that aren't part of 68. So there's a couple of projects where there's just, I got to tell you, our staff has been uploading and, you know, ripping, burning, uploading to multiple sites so that these materials can be accessible from multiple points. The material lives on our site, and that's really great, but putting it on archive.org has really expanded that reach to a lot of places that we haven't been before. The struggle right now is really trying to figure out how to translate that into funds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's helpful. That gives me some ideas. You don't have a fundraising person. There was talk on the PNB of actually hiring a national fundraiser to work with all five stations. Would that person also be stretched to help the archive? Or?
I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that person exists.
No. It was a gleam, I think, in Lonnie's eye.
Yes, we've been hanging on to that dream for 10 years.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, thank you. That helps a lot, Brian.
Sure.
Where have we left the discussion of...
I think it was my suggestions of, you know, sending you materials of the educational from the vault packages.
Right.
To see what you can do with it. You know, if you come back to me and just email me personally or phone me and say, Brian, this is crap, I can't do anything with it, or you could give me, you know, work, you know, it's okay to call me. You know, I can't give you, you know, hours of my time, but if you have a lead, if you have a great idea that you think can actually come up with some money or get our materials into a place that otherwise it isn't or should be,
mm-hmm.
You know, email me. We can handle that. You know, we can do that. That's what the press release is about. You know, as the press release gets out there, we're kicking butt when they respond to us to get copies of the materials right away to a class that's going to broadcast it on the university channel in Estonia, Oregon, I think. Our War and Peace documentary from 2 years ago was licensed, and on June 4th will be broadcast on WBEZ in Chicago, Circle station. So for the very first time, a Chicago non-affiliate station is broadcasting our material as part of the Third Coast Audio Festival's series, which is heard internationally. So, you know, we're sort of hitting and collaborating and getting into different spots. So I think that's what you can do, is take what we've done, figure out what you need. You know, if our one sheeter, if our press release isn't saying what you need it to say, write what you think it should say, send it to me, tell me who you're trying to send it to, and I'll help review, help it get it to the right point that you can actually make use of it. You know, think about the programmers in your stations. I don't know who you know. I don't know who you are friends with, whether it's Ray Hill or a programmer at KPFK or KPFT, you know, KPFK or WBAI. I have no idea if they've seen the 68 materials. Are they doing stories on 68? Are they doing stories about Iraq where they could use a piece from 68 to give it some oomph? You know, help us get the word out. You know, I know I've sent the press releases to the GMs and the PDs, but that does not mean that the guy that comes in once a week at 7 p.m. and doesn't give a you know, doesn't care about Pacifica the rest of the time? Does he know about the press release? Is it hanging on the lobby? No, why don't you print out a 1968 press release and go bulletin board it in the lobby? I kind of promise you it's probably not up there. That's not to say those stations aren't doing a lot. The fundraisers have really connected well. The From the Vault premiums, we've put together a Then and Now Winter Soldier premium.
Mm-hmm.
So the stations that just finished fundraising will get a premium for their summer fund drive. And KPFK is getting the new premiums that were just finished going into their fund drive coming up in June.
And that's the Then and Now Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I think KPFA pitched it, although it wasn't completed yet.
Right.
And I think some of the other stations pitched it too, but there's different versions going around, so we're trying to get a handle on that.
And I believe that KPFA is doing something special around 1968 programming in the next week or so, but if you were to ask me what it is, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I just overheard somebody mention that there was something coming up, and I'm sorry I just didn't pay attention to what it was specifically.
I would like to say something, too. I don't know, Brian, if you've offered your services to affiliates, but we have 130 affiliates, and you can pitch very well, and if you put something out and said, you know, I will pitch 1 hour to the first 10 affiliates that want my services, or to affiliates within certain ranges of size, like maybe small affiliates, or maybe you would want to just do it for the big affiliates, but that would have to affect the number of premiums that they would want. I know that KGNU broke all kinds of goals when they used the Beatles. Was it the John Lennon premium?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they had a Beatles program. And I tried to encourage KEOS to use your services. And maybe they didn't take advantage of the opportunity. But I would think that if you had some extra time and you were willing to do it, that the premium numbers would jump. And having someone on from Pacifica would be great for our name recognition. And it would I think it would be really to our advantage. I think that you and Ursula ought to collaborate on more things.
That's great. You know, we have done a lot better, and I've pitched at some stations. You know, I must say that I've announced that I'm willing to do them all. I'm totally a media.
Which
junkie.
Stations have asked you to do it?
WGDR, I think. KGNU, I've been with. Paonia, Colorado, I've been with.
Paonia, Colorado.
KVNF, I think. Ooh, that was good. I think that's right. and actually, because of the premiums and the good work that Sean's doing in terms of how he puts out the notices, he's now embedding audio clip samples of the premiums, uploading all the premiums to AudioPort. We have a 4-CD MP3 40 hours of 1968 package that just went out. It's up on AudioPort, and an affiliate station pre-ordered 40 packages, which is like a $1,500 order, which is huge for us. Our own stations don't even pre-order like that. We're doing what we can. I think if Ursula wanted to, you and Ursula wanted to draft something that you wanted to sort of run by me that you would want to put out to the affiliates, that would be great. You know, I think that, you know, bragging on the fact that the From the Vault 50, From the Vault 75, and From the Vault 100 broke a lot of records at the five Pacifica stations might warrant, you know, some notice, you know, at your next fund drive, please consider the From the Vault. Brian's available to pitch. You know, Amy's pitched it. That's another key. You know, Amy would pitch From the Vault on an affiliate station if that's who she's pitching on. We just had to sort of get the connect, you know, all the connectors and everybody actually know. You know, whoever's in charge at an affiliate station, the premiums, should know that if you get Amy Goodman to pitch the From the Vault you'll break some records.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we ought to just maybe, I think we ought to start with you, because we can't guarantee that Amy Goodman will pitch for any affiliate.
You can start with me. Sure.
I mean, they'd really have to work that out. But you're a resource, I think, that's underutilized. And I think it'd be great. I think it's great name recognition for Pacifica and the archive for you to offer your services like that. And just, you know, even if they don't take advantage of it, I surely Ursula has an email to the 130 affiliates.
Right. Well, I do too. We send our notices out from the vault all the time.
Mm-hmm. Not enough for just taking advantage of the offers, huh?
I guess not. I mean, we're doing well with premiums, but I don't know. I don't feel. Wait a minute. I just got a little giggle there for a second. I felt like I was I'm selling myself when I call them. Hi, can I be on your air? Can you please let me be on your air? I swear I can pitch. You know, please let me be on your air. I'm not saying I need an agent, but sometimes
it's
not an appropriate call.
Maybe that's why it would be good for Ursula to do that.
Sure. I mean, I don't want her to be my booking agent either. I don't think she wants to be. But I think that if we put together, you know, the notice, mm-hmm. to say, you know, the affiliate program and the archives wants to make sure you know about these premiums. The 68 premium is awesome for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, it's not the summer of love. That was last year. You know, this is the summer of, oh, my God, what did we do last year? But, you know, 68 is important. And, you know, some of the affiliates that are thinking about it have already responded. But what can we do? I got to tell you, I can't draft, you know, don't ask me to draft it. It's not on my plate right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got serious, you know, financial, you know, when I say serious financial, I really mean serious financial.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're on a public call. I cannot announce, but you know, we really just, you know, I have to take care of my staff, make sure that they are making a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I have to concentrate on. So you know, anything you can do to help get that started, Teresa, I would love to do it. You know, I'm happy to pitch with people on the affiliates. I'd love talking to affiliate audiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not shy. That's for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Brian, is it possible to talk? Are there plans to do events or anything's coming up this summer that you're working on?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, about a 68 event, a 1968 teach-in, or a 1968 fundraiser for the archives. And if you really think about, how can I say this? If you really think about the energy that's involved in getting an event like that together, and then you look at your net, you know, any event that we put together now probably will raise us between $10,000 and $20,000. We need to raise $100 by the end of September to balance our budget. So that's not, and with the time involved to promote an event like that to even get to the $10,000 or $20,000,
right.
You either need a big star, you need a big venue, and you need a big amount of promotion. And I think that through national office and through KPFA, we've sort of looked at some of those options, and we really have not come up with much that we can do with the staff resources that we have to put into it and the obligations we have to our Grammy folks. We just sent out 300 tapes to Philadelphia for preservation for our Grammy grant, and it took about 7 weeks to process them. You know, opening it up, every single box, looking for mold, looking for bad wines, looking for splices, looking for multi-stock tape, looking for, you know, boxes that need to be replaced and actually doing it, correcting the database description, trying to figure out what the hell the operator said, the board operator wrote on the back of the box, things like that. So that's serious business that we have to do. So in terms of events, I don't think, you know, the idea is that our resources are being so used up, we can't put it into an event that doesn't give us that much return in the net.
Right.
Unless anybody can come up with some sponsor. You know, that's the idea about collaborations, and I've never really been able to cross that bridge myself, but maybe once or twice. is find somebody who will give you all of those elements and just let you walk in the door, say your say, and walk out the door with your $10,000. Hooray! That's the game show idea. That's work. So that's sort of where we are. I think that, you know, I'm not going to speak for the stations, but, you know, I think that we're at the point where we're going to ask for a half day of special broadcasting in July, sometime between the fundraisers, depending upon how the fundraisers do, and then realize that whatever we make on the air is not going to be the kind of projection that we've been able to do in the past because the station fundraisers are tanking.
Right.
I mean, it's a big concern because somewhere where we've chosen a date that's the midway between the last fund drive of one station and the beginning of another is really just like a two-week period. So somewhere in there, I'm not even sure that that's going to work. It's really going to sort of have to be up to the generosity of the stations and the generosity of the listeners if we're able to connect with them.
Yeah, it's complicated by the fact that we're all on a slightly different fund drive schedule right now.
Right.
Because right. We've moved up fund drives.
Right.
At least
so we have.
I'm not sure about everybody else. And then with the concern of having the national conventions at the end of August,
right.
Everybody's feeling pretty crunched here.
Right, so we don't really have much hope for most of those things, even with the 1968 teach-in, which I think is my favorite idea.
Yeah.
We would love to get Cornel West and Heat Seeker, Cornel West and, you know, Naomi Campbell, or Naomi Klein, not Naomi Campbell.
I think Naomi Campbell might be really successful.
Paris Hilton and North Cornella. the Paris Hilton teach-in. But, you know, to have a teach-in in the summer when school's out is stupid. You know, we should wait for September, October and have a fantastic teach-in at UC Berkeley. You know, 68 isn't, you know, the 40th anniversary doesn't end until the end of December. So there's reason to start now to plan for that. But even with that, the money will cross over the fiscal year and then we're in trouble and then, you know, all hell breaks loose. So I want to be able to choose the projects that, you know, fit our mission, fit the work that we're already doing, and can benefit not only the community, but the state, the local station, and the archives fundraising needs. You know, if I do a teach-in in Berkeley, if KPFA doesn't have the resources and the energy to help promote it and help sponsor, like help be part of it and a participant in a, you know, sister brother thing, then it won't work. You know, it would be silly. So, you know, a lot depends on Lem and, you know, her staff and, you know, how much they're stretched. So,
may I just make a quick comment, Brian? This may be totally off the wall, and it wouldn't be the first comment I've made that's off the wall. But what about an 5 station on-air teach-in on 68. I don't know, certainly Nicole and all the program directors, everyone have to be involved, but have it also be a fundraiser for the archives. Mm-hmm. But actually have some of these people, it would be much less of a logistical challenge because you wouldn't need a venue and you wouldn't have to have airplane tickets and so on. And you could have some of Kennedy's staff. You could have, people who work directly with Martin Luther King, like the good reverend here from the church, reverend who was his civil disobedience trainer and so on. Have you thought in terms, or has anyone thought of a complete network-wide 1968 teach-in sometime this year?
Right. In the idea of that half-day fundraiser, which would be, you know, right now I'm calling it around July, you know, first week in July, but it really is up to the stations of when and if it's available. Mm-hmm. That's what we were going to pitch to them, is an on-air 68 teach-in with special guests, letting local stations take the pitch time and bring in a local guest if they want to. To sort of share the airtime. I don't really want to sort of usurp the airtime. That doesn't really work, and I don't want to do a simulcast because that doesn't give us enough phones. But if we had an 800 number service, take the phone calls, we only have three premiums from the vault package, our 68 package, and our voucher, which is $50 for, you know, a tape that you want to order of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest premium that we've ever had. And
yeah,
rarely do people ever redeem them, which is always interesting to me. But if we only had three premiums and we had an 800 number service, gave the 68 prepackaged materials of 40-minute content, left 20 minutes up to the local people to bring in a guest and pitch, I think that we could actually service the stations in terms of programming to the community.
Mm-hmm.
In a real way, not to say that our other archives fundraise days haven't been in a real way, but with the length and the goal of those fundraisers, the money is really the priority. And I think that even on these calls, Eddie and I have said many times in terms of promoting it, the money is where the money is the honey.
Yeah.
But in this case, the 68, we really have done up to 2 years of work now of knowing these materials, understanding the context, interviewing the experts, you know, having them broadcast on the BBC, having them in students' laps. You know, we really have a lot to say about this project. And I think that because they come from Pacifica, the local stations can take that and run with it. And I think they already are, you know, with the From the Vaults that are being broadcast and the fundraisers, I mean, the fund drives that have happened. You know, I think that it's starting to connect and they're starting to use the materials, but very lightly. Of course, the stations that don't run from the vaults don't get to hear it.
Well, let me ask, what is Nicole's opinion of making stations take from the vault?
If you think I'm going to speak for Nicole, you are crazy.
Well, has she been asked? Has anybody asked either at a board meeting or have they asked, you know, why are which stations are not taking from the vault right now?
I'm not even really quite sure about that. I say the ones that I know, KPFT and KPFK air it. WBAI and WPFW may air some if somebody doesn't show up or something. And KPFA, I think, may air them every now and then, too. But I don't think that Nicole is in favor of mandating any programming. I have not seen any evidence of that, although I have not heard her say so.
Well, I do not understand why Pacifica stations would not take and air the archives material.
Well, I can't answer for them. I've certainly pitched it to them in group meetings with executive management all there. All the programmers and program directors and GMs know about the series. They know how much money it's made them in fundraisers. I've got the numbers for them, and it's up to a different set of criteria, I guess, when it comes to real broadcast airtime and whatever process is in place. From the vault either doesn't go through or it goes through and gets turned down. I'm not, you know, I can't really say for sure. All I know is that, you know, we're doing good work. It's out there. You know, I think it's up to 23 or 24 affiliate stations broadcast it at various times. I think on a regular basis, about 16 affiliate stations air it. I mean, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pose a question to Brian very quickly?
Certainly.
You know, Brian, because of this horrendous financial crisis that you referred to, and it is heavy, I have heard, I'm no longer on the Pacifica National Board, but I have heard that in an economy move, certain people do not go to the PNBs any longer. I wonder, I think the director of affiliates and the director and you with the archives, do you still go and make presentations to the Pacifica National Board at their national meeting?
No. The last two meetings I haven't attended because of financial problems in the foundation, and I think that will remain unless, you know, if it's in L.A., I think the next one is in L.A. Mm-hmm. Of course I'll attend. I can afford to get on the train.
Yeah, well, we can afford to pick you up.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
But
no, I think that, you know, the serious nature of the expense of the board meetings, you know, hit Pacifica square in the face, and they had to do something pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, for me, go ahead.
Well, I fully understand. I fully understand how expensive the PNB meetings can be. But I will say that when I was on the Pacifica National Board, Ursula's report and your report were among the most inspiring and positive things that the board experienced. And I believe that not being there, maybe it can be every third meeting or something, I think we should, I know we have directors, Carolyn and others are on this call, we should somehow find a way to stagger this where you go to every third one and then Ursula goes to every fourth one or third one. Because those presentations really educated and inspired the board, and without them, I think the Pacifica board will become more and more detached from what's going on in those two areas.
It's Bonnie. I agree with you to some extent, Don. However, as someone who has now been at a couple of the Pacifica National Board meetings, time has been incredibly tight. It was obviously sort of complicated this year because of the questions around three of the elections that are frankly just getting solved now, getting settled now, and we're almost halfway through the year. And the PNB is spending a lot of time right now examining how we can do these meetings much more cost-effectively, as well as looking at everything else in the network that we need to look at to resolve, you know, our financial situation.
Right.
So I'm Carolyn, I don't know if you agree, but I think that there's still quite a lot of discussion on our part to get through just what is going to transpire re the next Pacifica National Board in-person meeting.
Yes, well, there is a task force, and we've come up with some very inexpensive alternatives, but out of rotation. So I think the board will have to meet and decide on that, but it is possible to have it done inexpensively and to meet. We just have to move on it. And I agree that those presentations were wonderful, but if I may, is there a newsletter of some sort, Brian, or a blog that we should all latch on to just to keep ourselves informed?
No.
Well, you know, what I think we could do, Brian, is just make sure that whenever you've sent press releases through to us on the task force, that we each... somebody from each signal area make sure that it gets to their LSBs,
mm-hmm.
and also that those of us who are directors make sure that it gets to the PNB too.
Mm. Right. You know, Melinda and Teresa, you know, there's some, not that there's not great people in all the units, but I have less communication with the programmers in Texas for some reason, except when I'm there. Like when I'm there, I love everybody. We have great conversations with Ray Hill and the drug war guy and a number of people whose name I can't remember. But I never really hear from them ever, you know, since. So I don't know if they're not getting stuff. I know Ernesto is doing great work. I know that this past fund drive you had a couple days of nothing but archive material.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did really well. I haven't seen any numbers yet. But I think it did really well. So I think that it's really working. But I would bet that Ray Hill doesn't know of all the 68 materials. And, like, you know, coming up is RFK. You know, do they know about this stuff and the Chicago DNC riots in 68?
Brian?
With the upcoming conventions, you ought to let people know that it's there for them to use and promote and say that it came from us.
I've got some real positive feedback about a month or so ago. I went to, we had our Ladies' Day blues party. And I had a woman come up to me. You never know when you give somebody a booklet what the response is going to be. And a woman came up to me, and she was with the Blues Society. And she said that one of the people at her table was so impressed with the archives brochure that she actually had been trying to find out more information about it online on our webpage.